Lord had spoken. For those who are in struggle, those who are in pain, those who are burdened, to come and receive rest. Come surrender. Let's be diligent right now. Not to get distracted, but to respond what the Lord had said. Those who are hurting, those who are overburdened, come to the altar, make an altar at your seat. For those of you that the Spirit has been speaking, the Spirit has been speaking to you, wake up. You know who you are. The Holy Spirit has been revealing to you to become more diligent in prayer, more diligent in His Word, to make yourselves available for the move and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Either sit or stand as the instructions were. Let us be diligent in responding, repenting, surrendering. Thank you. we've asked the Lord to lead our Sunday night services and take us where He wants to take us and move how He wants to move. And so I'm not sure if you've noticed it, but our Sunday nights have somewhat taken a little curve. I wouldn't say a turn, but a curve. And the last Sunday of this month, I want to encourage you to not miss. We're going to have a time of worship, calling it a worship night, but we'll have several people share a couple of passages of Scripture and just real quick, in that moment, share what the Lord has spoken to them. And so, so make sure that you do what you can to not miss that Sunday night. It is February 26th, right? Yes, that's Eden's birthday, so it'll be a great day for our family. So, I was thinking of the word that God spoke through Janine, and then of the message in tongues and the interpretation of the of that message. And the message for those who were burdened, and what came to me is a message for those who were burdened and those who are lazy. When I say lazy, I mean lazy of the things of God. And I thought, Lord, that was also a word for the hurting and for those who have become lackadaisical. It doesn't mean really lazy. That's just you just gone through the motions. So I pray that we would respond and continue to respond. And I just prayed the prayer of, Lord, I want to be effective. And right away He says, then you need to be diligent and make yourself available. And I said, I will. With your help, I will. So I'm not sure about you, but I want to be able to finish strong. And we don't know when our last day is. Tomorrow may never come, but even then, knowing that when I stand before the Lord, when my time here on earth or when Jesus comes, I want to be able to finish strong. I want to be effective. And in order for me to be effective, I need to make myself available and be diligent at what He's called me to be, at who He created me to be. So I pray that would be your prayer as well. So today, go ahead, put up slide one. Today, just first slide. There's going to be a lot of these crazy people. You know, these are the two teams. But last week, the Lord kind of gave me this. And this was an actual life group study that we had a couple of years ago. I say a couple. It might have been more than just two. It might have been 6 years ago. But we did this life group, and it's called Not a Fan. And the writer of this life group or Bible study series, the part of it is that God's not looking for a fan. And so the Lord gave me this title for today. And of course, you know, this is prevalent because of what today is for a lot of people. But for some people, it's just another Sunday. I mean, it's just another day to praise the Lord. Good. Look at it that way. It's just another day to honor the Lord. It's just another, I wouldn't say just another Sunday, but just another day to honor the Lord and to glorify Him. Are you a fan or are you a follower? And are you a fan of Jesus Christ? And so let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord led me to this passage where Paul is speaking and he's teaching because he is instructing some of these people that have probably never thought of it this way, have probably never thought or even knew about salvation in Jesus. And so he says in verse 5, Romans 6, verse 5, it says, for if we have been, I think this was, it wasn't the New King James Version, but what I'm going to read to you. So I can't remember what it was, so sorry, my fault. But it says, for if we have been united with Him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. How many of you are glad that your old self has been brought to nothing? Amen. In Jesus' name. Yes.
And some of you are probably saying, and it's still happening right now. Yeah. And that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Again, how many of you are glad you're no longer slaves to sin? Amen. Amen. Come on. Yes. There's going to be a lot of people losing their voice over two teams. And we're, you know, I mean, this is opportunity for us to really realize, be reminded, I am no longer enslaved to sin. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, we can get loud in here. It's all right. Verse 7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves, you, pointing myself to you, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for the truth. We thank you for it is your word that changes us. It is your word that increases our faith. It is your word that magnifies the Father. It is your word that we would receive here today and apply to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I wanted to read this paragraph from this book. And the gentleman, his name is Kyle Eidelman. So if you want to find his book and if you like to read, not a fan. And we do have a couple of DVDs. Not sure how many people have DVD players nowadays. It's kind of crazy. But anyway, we do have DVDs that if you want to watch a couple of them, you're more than welcome to check it out. And so as he says here, when fans attend a game or a theatrical production, they often receive a program. A program basically tells you what others will do, who will play quarterback, who will perform the lead, and so on. A fan then observes, critiques, and applauds when these others do. Though a fan may at times find himself living vicariously through an on-field player or an on-stage actor, in actuality, the fan doesn't really do anything himself. I remember a long time ago that I've never been to one of his concerts. It was just one of those videos on YouTube showing about Michael Jackson and one of his concerts. And I was just like amazed at the people in the front, you know, all the way in the front by the actual barriers. And there were people crying. Probably singing with him, but they were crying. And I'm like, he's just a guy. I mean, but he was famous. And they have front row seats. Who knows how much money they spent for that. But, I mean, they were crying. I mean, seriously, alligator tears. Oh, Michael, Michael. You know, they're crying. And go to my next slide. And, you know, there are fans out there that are crying, and some are cheering. I had to throw the Georgia Bulldogs for those of you Georgia fans in here. But I mean, people actually shed tears and cry, and it's because of the emotion. They're about to win. Oh, no, they lost, and, you know, whatever. And so, you know, fans really do get carried away. Get carried away over a team, get carried away over a person. And but a fan receives a program. But what does someone receive when he comes not just to observe, but to get in the game? Imagine you're in the fans, you're in the stands, you're a fan, and the coach looks at you or finds out that you're a good kicker and that he calls you out of the stands to come and actually kick their field goal, the winning field goal. That never happens. There was a story in college, I can't remember what college team, but that this person kicked a field goal. And it was during one of their seasons, in the middle of the season, and he kicked the field goal, and it was really good, and it was really far. The coach actually, or one of the coaches, said, go find that guy. Probably thinking, our kicker stinks. Let's get that guy, you know? And then evidently, I think the person got onto the team. I mean, he was a walk-on. But, I mean, that very rarely happens. But here, it just doesn't happen where an actual fan is called from the audience or from the stands and comes. But, you know, They don't join the cast. They don't enlist in the action. I'm not sure how many of you, but our family, we were privileged to be able to go on this trip to Orlando one time, and it was like an improv thing. And they were actually having people come up and be a part of the act. I thought that was pretty cool. But, you know, if you go to Broadway, they don't call people from the stands and tell them to sing this long note. No, the people that are a part of the team, the part of the play, the actors, the singers, they're the ones. And the fans are just out there just buying the expensive ticket, eating the popcorn, just sitting there being entertained. See, players get playbooks, actors get scripts, soldiers get field manuals, doers get instructions. You see, God has given us an instruction. He's not looking for fans, he's looking for followers. And so a fan isn't committed to be on a team, but just to root for the team. Maybe look like the team, as we were showing the first slide. Having the jerseys, having the team colors. Some even have their cars decked out. Now, mine, someone said, hey, you need to update your decal because I have a, you know, Chicago Cubs, and it's kind of faded. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I need to go buy a new sticker. But it's faded. But there are people that they deck out their whole cars with these decals because they're such great fans. Go to my next slide. Some people even put tattoos. I don't think I will ever put a player tattoo on my arm, on my leg, on my back. The one on the left, the one on the left, that's the World Cup. And, of course, you know, Argentina won the World Cup, and somebody put, you know, these guys, they're the players on the Argentinian team. And so, you know, these people are fans. They're great fans. But God isn't wanting you to always, you know, God's not wanting you to change your wardrobe that every shirt you have is a Christian t-shirt, and that's what he's looking for. He's not wanting you to have a Bible on the front dashboard or in the back of every vehicle you have just because that's what Christian is. He's not even wanting you to go ahead and quote a lot of famous scriptures just to know them. You just know them up here. He wants you to know them here and that your life is walked out in them. Paul makes it clear that we are either all in with Christ and for Christ, or we're not. Because in choosing that we're all in, it means it's not just only on Sundays. It's not only when we feel like it. It's not only when times are tough. My father-in-law would say, it is easy to praise the Lord when you got that, you know, new job or promotion, or when good things are going on. It tests your faith when you're praising the Lord even through difficult times and when you don't even understand what is going on in life. I want this is not notes, but Psalm 22. Let's just go up to Psalm 22, and I want to read a couple of things, because to some people it may sound like, man, David, he's just always whining. He's always complaining. Anybody complain to God? Anybody whine to God? Anybody question? You have questions for God? I remember saying that Tony Evans says, it's okay to ask God questions, but it's never good to question God. Meaning, is God really God? Don't question God, are you really God? But it's okay to have questions. So here, Psalm 22, this is a psalm of David. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it says twice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? I'm shouting to the top of my lungs, God, and you're not answering. God, where are you? You might have had a similar occasion, a similar time with God like this. But then in verse 2, he says, oh my God, I cry in daytime, but you hear not. In the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and thou did deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confound. But I'm a worm, no man, a reproach of men, and despise of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head and saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb, did make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none help. So, you know, this no longer sounds like a crying little, you know, little boy or someone that has lost their faith. He knows who's God, who God is. He knows where God pulled him from. He knows who created him. This is not a fan. This is a follower. And of course, there's a lot of psalms where that we find where the writer, David, and sometimes it's not David, but it's a writer for David, and this is someone that's writing these questions, and at first it sounds like it's just another person complaining. God knows how many times I've complained to him. But I choose not to be a fan. I choose to be a follower, because later on in that psalm, it just points out who is God and I'm not, and he is, and who is holy and who is glorious. You see, true disciples of Jesus serve and follow every day, even on the bad ones. Let's go to my next slide, slide 4. Galatians 2:20. Now, this verse came to my mind as I was reading verse 6 of Romans 6, when it says, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, who still loves me, and gave himself for me. I encourage you today that you would choose to be a follower, not a fan. You see, our old self has to be brought to nothing. Philippians 3, verse 7, it says, but what things were gained to me? And of course, this is Paul, who also, when he wrote Romans. Of course, I believe he wrote Romans. And so he's writing to the people in Rome, but now he's writing to the people of Philippians, and he tells them pretty much all of the accolades, all of the awards, all of the recognitions that I have received because of being a good steward and a student of the law. He says in verse 7 of Philippians 3, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. He's all in. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. You see, the goal is not a trophy. It's not a gold cup. It's not a world cup. It's not any awards or fame. The goal is Christ. Paul is all in because he knows who God is. He knows who love is. I've been focusing on the fact of this month that love God, love people, love missions. It's God's mission that we would demonstrate his love to the world here in Camden County, here in the state of Georgia, and all over the world. That we would be not fans, but followers. That we would live for not for a trophy, fame, money, recognition, nest egg, retirement, or whatever. None of that you're going to be able to take to heaven anyway. But the goal would be Christ. Today, there's a couple of teams that are going to be working really hard, putting a lot of stress on their bodies to win a trophy, to get a ring, to get recognition. They're not taking that to heaven. And I pray for the Christians that are on those teams. They'll shine brighter for Jesus than whatever emblem or whatever team that they're representing today. Because I hope they know that it is Christ that they represent above all. So most of us are fans. You're fans of something. Just shout out some places where you occasionally eat. Chick-fil-A. Zaxby's. All right. I got a lot of young people over here and a lot of older people over here. I know you guys eat somewhere other than your house. Longhorns. What? Maggiano's. Ooh, I like Maggiano's. Wasabi, Willie Jules. Okay. Now, Cracker Barrel. Say again. Joseph's. Okay. I was waiting for someone to, well, never mind. Anyway, so You see, the restaurants or the places where you go, other than just food. I mean, some of you, you don't step foot in Winn-Dixie you don't step foot in Publix. You always go to Walmart, you know. I mean, so even just where you shop, and that's not bad. You just have your reasons, okay? But you are a fan because where you go the most, where you go most often, where you choose not to go, whether it's necessary or by habit, you're a fan of that place. I know, whenever we would take the kids to Jacksonville, we'd go. I mean, there were certain places. We were so sad when, Sweet Tomatoes closed shop. We're like, no, man. The cool thing was is that I would say 80% of the time that we went, so thankful that we had the same guy waiting on us. And we would leave tracks and we would, you know, and I mean, we would just leave a good tip and leave tracks. And if any opportunity to share about the fact that we, you know, that we're Christians and where we go to church, and we just wanted him to know that if he's ever in this area, you know, whatever. And then that was always cool because it was always, and then of course we would take the kids to Golden Corral. And so there's just certain places that we would always go to. And memories were formed because of that. We were fans of that. You may have good things or bad things to say about those places. Hopefully you're not consumed by that place. Hopefully that place didn't define you. It might have defined your body, but it didn't define you as your identity, because Christ is the one where we find our identity. Our identity of who we're to be, who we're to grow to become. You see, God desires that you and I know him and learn of him, learn from him, learn what love is, learn to discover his purpose for your life and be able to develop his character. You see, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, towards the end, I think some places like put 4:8b, but it says, God is love. If we're going to discover God's purpose for our lives, let me tell you, the most important thing is going to be love, because God is love. The most important thing that you're going to learn about developing godly character is love. Why? Because God is love. His love, not your love, not my love, his love. Hey, we need to learn of that. Pastor Shannon was sharing this morning that it's out of that, out of his love, we're going to learn how to reflect him. We're going to learn how to look like him. People will see him in us. You see, love is the greatest fruit. It's the greatest treasure, because love is him. Love is God. God is love. And we are to learn what that looks like, what that sounds like, how to reenact it to others. By learning who he is, there's nothing more important to know or to learn than this. That God is love. He is love. To know him is to know true love. Next slide, slide 5. Is God looking for fans or followers? What are you? Jesus makes it clear who he's looking for. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. He speaks to his disciples about his followers. Now, I wanted to start in verse 21 because Jesus says something and one of his followers gets it wrong. One of his followers isn't thinking correctly. It wasn't a trick question. But Jesus says from that, it says here in verse 21, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. Now just put yourself in the disciples' shoes. This is your rabbi. This is your master, your teacher. I mean, you're like just listening intently to what he's saying and what he's doing. And he's talking about some troubled things are going to happen to him. And I'm thinking, God, Peter just, or Jesus, Peter just cares about you. He doesn't want anything to happen to you. He doesn't want you to get hurt. But Jesus is not looking at Peter's emotions. He's looking at Peter's thoughts and where Peter's heart is. That Jesus says this, verse 22. When Peter says, took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But Jesus turned to him and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Jesus was looking at the intent of what Peter was saying. It wasn't that he was concerned for Jesus' health. There was something deeper than that, that Jesus says, you're more concerned about the things of man, about you, than the things of God. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I felt like we needed to find out why he said that. You probably heard this verse, verse 24, many times. That Jesus says that if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Not be a fan of me, but follow me. Not wear a t-shirt about me, but follow me. Not just memorize scripture so you know it in your head about me, just to know of me, but not about me. Not truly and personally. But Jesus said, verse 24, because he just rebuked Peter. And he says that, Peter, you're a hindrance to me. You hinder me. You hinder what I'm doing, Peter. That's pretty deep. That's low blow, but a good blow, because Peter needs to hear this. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. I'm not sure, but if you'll just give 30 seconds to the Holy Spirit to point out to you the many times that you are more concerned and you're setting your mind on the things of man instead of the things of God. Now, don't think about emotional stuff, but think about true, down to heart, the things of man than the things of God. Then he continues, verse 25, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? He forfeits his soul because he lives his life being a fan of God and trying to create all of these accolades and all of these awards and all the things that he can win in his or her life, but yet you lose your own soul. Verse 26, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. You see, you and I can be a hindrance to Jesus by setting our minds and our lives on the things of man instead of God. This doesn't have to do with your occupation. Doesn't have to do with where you shop or where you go for vacation. But the direction of your life, where is it headed? Who is your first? Who is your focus? Who is your priority? Is it love? Many people will say that they love many things. A term of saying, like Shannon mentioned before this morning, a term of saying what we are a fan of or what we're really like. Oh, I love cheesecake. Oh, I love this and I love that. I love going shopping. Oh, I love going here. I love going thrift storing. Remember what Jesus said and what he's looking for and what he's instructing us to do. Last slide. Verse 24, again, Jesus says, he told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his and follow me. You see, it's okay to watch tonight's game if that's what you're choosing to do. It's okay to go home and grab a book and fall asleep reading one of your, you know, favorite books. It's okay to just go out, go somewhere, go get a bite to eat before you go home and just go home. But make sure that you are a follower of Christ, that whatever you do, wherever you go, that his love is seen in you. Because you are endeavoring, and all of us can say this, we're not perfect, we're not all the way, we have not attained perfection yet, but I endeavor. And as Paul says, everything that I've gained, I count it as loss, because I seek to know him. My goal is Christ. And if our goal is Christ, then people will see Christ in us. If our goal is God's love, then people will see, and his love will be demonstrated in us. Even tomorrow, if you go to work or school, and you high-five others because of who won the game tonight, doesn't matter. It's okay. But make sure that you endeavor to pursue his love and that his love is seen in you. Make sure that you strive to become a follower of Christ. You see, because fans, go up to slide one again. Fans are driven by emotion. Now go to slide five. Followers are driven by eternity. To follow Jesus to love like Jesus, to live like Jesus, to speak like Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you. Father, I thank you for the words that you spoke to us today, for the burdened and hurting, for the lackadaisical or those that are still sleeping spiritually. Thank you for getting our attention. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us that we would take the opportunity to repent and make things right. Father, I pray that you will remind us you're not looking for fans. Fans are driven like the wind. Fans come and go. You're looking for followers, those who will sacrifice it all, go all in, deny themselves just to follow you. We thank you, Father. May your love be seen in us and through us from this day forward as we endeavor to love because you are love. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.